Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on season 2 of Netflix's version of Lost in Space. This was 10 episodes. It was, I don't know, 7.5, 8 hours.
Sounds right.
Again, I think these are also available on Blu-ray and DVD and such. And once again, I think they did a great job on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I know we had talked about that when we talked about the first season. It's got good effects. It's got a good cast. This time, instead of being planet bound for most of it, they were actually on the Resolute, the colony ship or whatever,
yeah,
kind of thing going. With a fair amount of time on different Jupiters and such, we saw some of the same people we'd seen first season in terms of other colonists and stuff.
Well, I would say Victor Dar's evolution continued.
Yeah.
We didn't see Mr. Watanabe, but we saw his wife.
Yeah. We saw Angela.
Yes.
And probably not too many other of the colonists, none of the other named colonists, of which there were very few.
Yeah. We didn't get a follow-up on Evan, who was afraid he might be paralyzed after the tanker fell on him.
Well, he died.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. That's right.
But didn't he have a brother?
He had a brother.
But that was back, that was at the colony.
No, he had a brother that he was traveling with.
Oh, okay. I'd lost track of that. You're right. They didn't.
He had a married brother already at the colony, and he had a brother he was traveling with.
Got it. And that should have been dealt with in season one.
Yeah.
A lot of this was more backstory on how they had, the humans had, that Christmas Star thing was indeed a crashed ship with a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
They'd captured the pilot, claimed the technology, built a ship around that.
Well,
and really mistreated the pilot, and that has come back to haunt them.
Yeah, and I think that they, I almost want to say, they owed us more about showing us the actual condition of the pilot when they found him, etc. Because we're given a version of it, but we're not actually shown.
I think if this had been a show that had either more episodes or a little more time, they would have been able to do an episode that was mostly flashback from Scarecrow, another one of the robots, the pilot one, point of view. Because this season we really had three robots we dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
The one that Will had befriended. We had the second alien robot, Sar, that we'd gotten. We get him a couple of times, but also then Scarecrow, the pilot.
Yeah.
Which had technically been around the whole time, but we'd just never seen.
Yes.
First season. And they build up a lot more of, a lot more of the crew of the Resolve, but really the original captain that gets kind of pushed aside for a bit, the new captain, one or two security people, and kind of the chief engineer are the main ones we deal with.
Well, we had Ben Adler and Hastings.
True, true.
So,
you're right. So the AI guy, Adler, and Hastings, which is, I'm not even sure what I would classify him as. He's not part of the ship security, but he is one of the powers that be.
Yeah.
And it was unclear to me why he was making the trip.
He seemed to be the Black Ops guy. Now, I have major issues still with the timeline. The Christmas Star came down 2 years ago. That's when we got the technology that made these trips possible. So presumably the Resolute was built in Nothing Flat. The technology was fit into it in Nothing Flat. The round trip takes 3 months, and we're on Colony Group 24.
Yeah, that math doesn't work out.
I'm just saying that these are the kinds of things where they give me information and it drops into my brain and I get caught on the logic of it and I fumble for a moment and it throws me out of the story.
Even if you stretch the time to 4 years, which I don't think fits their timeline, the round trip and back means they could be doing maybe 2 a year with the Resolute, and that is the ship they have.
Well, he said he sees his kids 1 week out of every 3 months. Which made the round trip.
Okay,
sound
the round
like
trip,
the
so they could do
months.
4 a year.
Yeah.
But again, this is Colony Group
24. And it's been 2 years. That's what I keep stumbling on.
Well, and I haven't gotten a good sense of how many Jupiters they were fitting on this thing and how many people
there were spares. Because the families that lost Jupiters got assigned replacement Jupiters.
I had taken that to mean that they were doubling up with other people so that it was more crowded conditions.
Either that or they were assigned the Jupiters of people who died during the attack. And when we crashed on the... But see, again, they just aren't clear about these things.
Well, and we also had some transport ships that were clearly Jupiter class, but just outfitted differently.
And we finally got shown, though not told, that those seats, those rows, if you will, are the escape pod option for the crew. They serve the double purpose, kind of like lifeboats are tenders on cruise ships.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there are a couple of things there that they never really got into, and it's the kind of thing that if they had, and I get why they didn't, but if they had started the first episode of the show, the very beginning, with like a 3 to 5 minute sales pitch infomercial.
Yeah.
Come to the new colony and all of that stuff that they could do the callbacks on later. And they did essentially callbacks, well, that's not what the brochure looked like, or...
Yeah.
You know, I like the comment, I think it was first season, where Penny was saying, yeah, it's going to be great in Alpha Centauri. Everybody's got ripped abs and in great shape and
yeah, yeah,
stuff like that. But there were a couple of times we're just trying to figure out, again, how many of these colonists they had, which they had 500 people on the planet. They had a couple hundred up. So I'm going to say 700-800 total.
After a lot of people died. So let's be generous and say they started with 1,000. And that seemed like a big ship to only be holding 1,000.
Yeah, that's what I was going to, because like the mess hall we'd seen at one point felt fairly large, could easily hold, you know, a few hundred people.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't seem like it was necessarily the only one. I did think it was funny that when we get to the Resolute at the beginning, it's essentially an abandoned ship.
Yeah.
Yet still, Smith is going around clearing security footage, resetting her identity.
It's like she doesn't notice the ship has been abandoned.
And at first, it seems like, why is she doing this? And it turns out later when the colonists come back up from the planet that they'd temporarily gone down to and whatnot, her planning paid off.
Well, and it was almost like she was operating under the assumption, the Robinsons will fix whatever's going on, and I need to be ready for when normal returns.
Well, putting plans in place, worst case, they're not needed, no harm, no foul. What else was she going to do?
It's funny because on the one hand, she almost avoids actively helping, but she's willing to, if you will, passively help. And the best example of that is when she is side by side with Hastings, when they go in and Hastings wants to order the robot to abandon the planet they're orbiting and go for Alpha Centauri. And what she says is to Hastings, and it's even though Will Robinson is still on the planet, she's not actively doing a darned thing when you think about it.
But she's giving the robot information that would cause him to stay.
Yes.
She seems to play all the angles.
Yes.
And at one point, it was a matter of, you know, which of the Robinsons can she turn to her side?
Well, and the one time she actually carries through on a promise, or tries to, and is literally banging on the door, trying to achieve the Robinson's goal, and doesn't get heard.
The situation is such that she cannot complete the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no one believes she tried. You almost feel sorry for her, because it's not that she's redeeming herself this season, which I think the writers might have been trying for, but as, I guess, Judy put it at one point, Penny has figured out how to manipulate Smith into, if you're going to tell people you're Dr. Smith, you have to be Dr. Smith.
How to make her use the powers for good.
Yeah.
Well, when we started this season and they're on this other planet that they've been on for 7 months, which is a good way to, you know, explain how these kids are aging.
Yeah,
child actors.
I think Will grew multiple inches.
Easily. He looked older.
Well, just in terms of standing height, he was looking up at Penny and Judy last season, and he was eye to eye with them by the end of this season.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a risk when you do multiple seasons with child actors and such, and particularly for a narrative. It's like with Harry Potter, every movie was the next year of school, so you expect them to age over the course of it. But with this, unless you put in the it's 7 months later thing, and it's hard to find story breaks for that.
Yeah.
It's hard to do the aging of the stuff. But that's also when they're on that planet and turning the spaceship into a sailboat, which was hilarious and well done.
Yes.
We find out Smith knows how to sail.
Yeah.
And it's is she lying? Is she not? All that kind of a thing. And it turns out, well, occasionally she'll tell the truth just to throw you off.
Yes.
So the what is she up to and what can we expect out of her continued to be a major thread throughout the season, as I expected.
Well, but we also, from that 7 months together, got a Dawn learned a lot about the Robinsons from the time in first season, but also those 7 months of they'll just keep trying until they get that crop of corn to grow.
He's become part of that crew.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I think the proof in the pudding for that one was when he told the captain of the ship, I'm a smuggler. That's how I know this rescue plan will work and will save Penny's life.
Well, and that was such a about face from first season where he was, I don't say blackmailing, but basically extorting the head of the settlers and stuff. I can tell you where the fuel is, but what's in it for me?
Yes.
To Penny's in trouble.
Yeah.
To save her, I need to do something that costs.
Yeah.
In this case, himself quite a bit, because he gets thrown in the brig. So he earns his way out of that, I think, fairly effectively.
Yes. Yes. Well, and they make shockingly good use of the ankle monitor and the thing that monitors it, if you will.
Well, and both comedically and then story-wise.
Yeah.
Which I appreciated. It's going to be interesting, given how much had elapsed with the new planet, the evolution of the robot, other robots, or of his ilk.
Well, I think a lot of things happened in terms of the robots, and one of the story points they keep hitting, and for the most part I think well, is what would have happened if someone other than Will was the first contact with the robot?
Yeah, I think they covered a lot of that in terms of first season we'd seen Smith in control for a bit. This time we see Ben Adler with Scarecrow. I think what they need to do for the next season is set up the possibility of peace between the humans and these robots. I think there's an aspect of you must give back the engine.
Yes.
And then the question is, then how can the humans get back and forth? If it can come down to what caused that ship to crash on Earth, was it a misunderstanding? Was there other stuff prior to that? And get that cleared up to where they can, the two species can move forward.
Well, and that's why I keep going back to what condition was Scarecrow actually in when he crashed?
I would say recoverable, and the reason he was in such bad shape was massive torture.
And see, that's where I think humanity and Ben Adler particularly went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the prime difference between everyone else who's dealt with the robots and Will Robinson.
Yeah, yeah. It comes down to if that scene in the forest fire had played differently, the whole situation would go different.
And when we watched that scene, I called out to you, is this basically we've spent time together in the tree, we've gotten to know each other, and what I'm realizing is just because I'm going to die here doesn't mean you have to die also.
Mm-hmm.
So Will Robinson's saving the life of the robot had nothing to do with expecting to save his own life, etc.
It was a selfless act.
Yeah. And I think that was what confused and intrigued the robot, but also made the moment so tender and sweet, is what we had no reason to believe it would work.
Well, I guess the question is, did the robots, and I'm treating them as a sentient race, even though they seem to be mechanical, not biological, which presumes a biological antecedent to create them, but ignoring all of that, did the robot know what had happened to Scarecrow? Or was it just a matter of a ship is flying with one of our engines, we've lost one of ours, what's going on? Oh, they must have stolen it. And we want our stuff back. Or is that engine somehow the equivalent of a queen bee or whatever?
Interesting.
For this sort of sentient life.
I was thinking less Queen Bee and more Sacred.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it kicks out the tendrils, like we've seen the robots self-heal with. So to me, it seemed like it would be kind of the sacred thing that powers that ring at the center of the planet, and you know, if you go to it, when the lightning strikes, you'll be healed.
I don't think the way the robot treats that engine thing reflects that.
And I'll grant you that. He treats it as a tool.
Yeah.
But not as a queen bee either.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't fit my theory either. So, and now we've gotten two planets, the ocean one that the Robinsons were on at the beginning of the season, that had this ring around it that mm-hmm. captured lightning and such. And then the amber planet, the more desertish one, that had the same deal.
But it seems to be that the engine likes to navigate to those planets. Now, we don't know what happened to the planet we're at the end of season two, but we know that the reason we navigated there is because Hastings and someone else had told the robot to navigate to where he was detecting human signals from.
Well, let's think that through, because the Fortuna was lost 20 years ago mm-hmm. and had the biological father of June.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they come across at the end.
Judy.
Judy, sorry. So could it be that when the Fortuna was lost, it was kind of first contact?
Mm.
That is what gave these things, hey, this is where Earth is. But then why would it take 20 years? And then the question is there any life on the Fortuna?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm expecting absolutely there is.
Yeah.
Particularly her father.
Yep.
It wouldn't surprise me if, depending on the crew of that, she has another sibling or two.
I was going to say a stepmom, but yeah.
Stepmom and or.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, dad's had 20 years to think I'm not getting home and restart.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So there could be, I don't say another will, but something. Yeah. And it would be interesting because where they end the season after quite a bit of stuff had happened is they've split up the Robinsons with the parents with the fleet of Jupiters, sans the Resolute, which did not survive the season, although we saw quite a bit of it and it put in its time and effort. And then the kids on a transport ship.
They were on Jupiter 2?
Yeah, I guess it was Jupiter 2. I thought
they were referring to it as a transport. They were referring to it technically as the Jupiter transport for kids.
That's, I think, what confused me, because I was getting lost as to were the kids in Jupiter 2 or were the Robinsons, the adults and Don.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, so the kids may have been in some other Jupiter, but they were in a Jupiter because they had the round table in the middle.
I was
going to
say, it had the round table in the middle, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all 97 kids
mm-hmm.
Plus Judy are there. The robot, they've put the jump engine in there, and there's evidence that Doc Smith, you know, snuck aboard.
Because that's the adult chaperone I want with 97 kids.
But it's the exact sort of thing both this Doc Smith and the original would have done.
Not denying that, just finding the humor in it.
Yeah.
Now, I think that the question they left very open-ended, and in terms of wanting options for next season, I see why they did it. To me, it's very clear Dom West is on the same Jupiter as the parents Robinson.
Given he picked him up at the end, absolutely, yes.
We know that when the parents Robinson led Don West to that Jupiter, he was with, was she Ava? The head
mechanic
person. And like three or four other mechanics. But we didn't really get and these are the rest of your mechanics and what they're good at. Or didn't really get headshots of them. You know what I mean? There was no focus on that.
No, there was a head mechanic, Don, and the rest of their team. And they're like, yep, you're with us.
Yeah. So I think they've got kind of three or four, we'll find out next season who they are.
Oh man, I'm thinking more like seven or eight, maybe more. Because basically now you've got the people who can think, you know,
yeah.
their way out of the problems, particularly with Maureen. And now you've got a bunch of people to actually go do all the work.
Well, I think that in terms of progression for characters, Dom West sticking around, knowing the Robinsons were going to do something explosive and need a rescue, and showing up to rescue them was now in character. If you know what I mean.
In character from the minute we met him, because while he was trying to get off the Resolute when it was in trouble during that attack and stuff. He was helping Doc Smith. He was trying to help everybody he encountered, Angela, etc.
But he already had 6 or 7 lives he was responsible for getting to safety, and he knew that ship was going to explode and it might be hard to get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And he stuck around for the 2 more.
Yeah, at this point, I think particularly given the way the first season ended, and then him spending 7 months with the mm-hmm. Robinsons, he is part of the family.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're not going to leave him. He's not going to leave them.
Well, and what's interesting is I keep kind of waiting for Judy to hint at, you know, if I had a husband, he'd be welcome on the colony.
Yeah, I was expecting romantic entanglement there. And that's how I thought he was going to get kind of into the Robinson family structure.
I mean, it just seems like, because the show keeps bemoaning his status as crew.
I don't know, the show does. He certainly does. Well, and I don't blame him.
There does seem to be a double standard that we've seen
mm-hmm.
for how the crew is, well, birthed. I mean, what you referred to as the brig, that seemed to be house arrest.
Yeah, it was house arrest in his closet of a cabin.
Yeah.
But it's like on a cruise ship where you give the nice quarters to the paying guests and the crew, they get, you know, accommodations.
Yeah.
So I wasn't surprised by that, but I am expecting his status to be elevated a bit, mm-hmm. if nothing else, just from association with the Robinsons. Because as much as some of the people in the Resolute may have misunderstood or not liked or whatever their actions, this family has an insane track record of saving the day and escaping from certain death.
Well, Hastings came through in the very end, but it was kind of for part of the season, it was Ben Adler's the one you shouldn't trust. Oh, wait, maybe we're winning over Ben Adler. Oh, wait, he's going to sacrifice himself because he's discovered he was once Will Robinson. And if he'd been a better person, he could have been.
Right, but there was also, who does he report to?
And that's when suddenly it's Hastings is really the bad guy.
Yeah, but it also tied into how did Will get that test pass?
Yes. You know,
flip. How did Maureen get it passed for him? So I thought that made sense. It still felt a little weird to have kind of that black ops guy or whatever on the ship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I could see when you've got this kind of engine that just doesn't exist anywhere else in your world, you keep an eye on it.
Well, but I'm wondering what happens with Hastings next season. He's not on the ship with the Robinsons. He's not on the ship with the kids.
He was on a transport ship, and I took his giving of the codes as the, I got nothing left to lose, sure, why not?
Yeah, exactly. Kind of the Resolute is lost to the robots anyway.
Yeah.
You know, if you think that you can, well, and Maureen had phrased it as, give me the codes, it'll save the kids. But I think there was a part of him thinking, and the rest of the Jupiters. It's not only the kids that will get away. Yeah. I will too. So there was some self-interest in the decision.
Well, there's also the possibility, and I hope they don't play it this way, of if I survive and they don't and they destroyed the Resolute and I have that on record.
Yeah, there is always that.
I think he started down the same redemption path that Doss did first season and completed this season.
The Dars.
The Dars, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Victor Dar.
Victor Dar. I just don't know if we're going to see him next season, if I want to see him next season.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'd set it up to where the remaining Jupiters were going to scatter.
Yes.
So we would have the adult Robinsons, Don, and the mechanics. And maybe another Jupiter?
Yeah.
But that's not even guaranteed.
Yeah. And we really don't know who's bunking with who on which Jupiters.
Yeah. And it was good to leave that ambiguous.
Yeah.
So I'm curious how that plays out. I'm expecting that we're going to do a little cutting back and forth between the two halves of the Robinson family. And it's going to be mom and dad, you know, oh, where are the kids? How can we go after them? That sort of thing. But I expect the main focus, not exclusively, but a lot of it is going to be on the Fortuna, finding the other dad.
Mm-hmm.
That shift of the family structure,
because mm-hmm.
you're going to have a, what if her biological father and now presumed stepmother, because it makes sense to have, were the parental figures or whatnot.
Yeah.
And how all that plays out.
I think we're also going to have, I don't know who, trying to convince the robot to take them back.
That's what Doc Smith is there for.
Yeah. You know, because as much as they kept saying, we don't know where this amber plant is, so this whole, we'll leave 500 people here and come back for them,
mm-hmm.
doesn't play.
Well, The other thing that was preventing them and why they were going to leave the 500 people there is they didn't have the water. So they had to go to the gas giant, collect the ammonia so they could clean the water from this magic metal-destroying property thing.
Yeah.
What I didn't get clarity on is, given the robots attacked and they had to abandon the Resolute and stuff, did they hang on to any of the water?
I don't know, and there was some brief mention of not all the Jupiters or most of the Jupiters aren't fueled up.
Yeah, that seemed a little odd too, because it didn't seem like the Resolute was hurting for fuel.
But it may have been that the Jupiters burned so much fuel coming up from the planet and hadn't been attached long enough. I just don't know.
That makes sense, because I think they've kind of played that these are short-range crafts and that just getting in and out of an atmosphere burns up enough.
But see, there again, there's so many things in the show they don't tell me that I keep stumbling and fumbling and wishing, just give me a tiny bit more, a little more.
I think part of it is not wanting to have the info dumps, which I respect.
Yeah.
But there could have been either flashbacks or something of the kids quizzing each other of, okay, how much fuel can it hold? What can that get you? And
yeah,
all of that.
Yeah, well, I'll admit, I kind of wish when the Robinsons had gotten to the command center for the Resolute, there had been a line of, it's empty. Yes, we've abandoned ship. No. Doesn't the captain go down with the ship? And one of them saying to the other, in this case, the captain leads their people to safety, wherever mm-hmm. that might be.
The fact that they found one little girl there.
Yeah, well, and apparently the people down on the planet knew the one little girl was up there. And that they hadn't been able to find her. But I meant at the very end, when they destroyed it.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that the cabinet... Well, we don't know where the captain went and where the command crew went. Just that they weren't there.
True.
And that was a little odd. But I could see where they couldn't find the kid and they had to call it quits at some point. But then the kid survives 7 months.
On her own. On a ship with food that's rotting in the dining hall.
Yeah. So presumably she'd been really good at scavenging or something. And they still had bananas and other things, so it was unclear how the whole food thing was working, because it's not like the meal ready to eat kind of a things that we had first season.
Yeah.
And I don't get bothered by all this stuff, but I would like a lot of that explained, where I've got the context and there are ways to do it without a major info dump that would have mm-hmm. been nice.
Well, I mean, Penny did mention that, you know, the Jupiters have the MREs. I want food that doesn't have to be rehydrated. Mm-hmm. And she started listing off non-rehydratable, like the ice cream, which I actually thought was funny because there's astronaut ice cream.
Yeah, but it would have been nice to have seen a hydroponics garden or something on the ship.
Yes.
Now, granted, it's a 3-month round trip. Do you even need that? Or can you just stock enough stuff?
But if the ship's going to be in perpetual motion, you might as well have the hydroponics, because among other things, the colonists could be working the hydroponics and working on their gardening skills for when they get to the colony.
Or bringing new plants that they could transplant into said alien environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be curious if we ever actually get to the colony. I'm curious, the planet that the kids are at, what the hell happened to it?
Yeah.
Why is the Fortuna there? And again, any life on it, which I'm assuming is going to be yes. Are they stuck there? You know, what's going on? Something clearly happened in that star system.
How much time do you think will have passed between end of second season, beginning of third?
It wouldn't surprise me if they did a year jump, because I'm expecting a little longer for between filming because of the pandemic. But I'm hoping that they're able to kind of pick up right where they left off. I don't know that they can.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
And yeah, I don't know. And some of it may come down to, I was going to say, when they start filming, oh, geez, these kids have shot up another foot, therefore, you know, let's tack the X months later. But obviously they had to have written it prior to that. Yeah, so they've got to have a game plan for that. It's just not like the kids can go down to the planet, and because it didn't look sustainable, they almost have to go to the Fortuna, and mm-hmm. to do that with and we've been around for X months is an option. But if they do that, they need to do flashbacks to, you know, Judy first meeting her dad and some stuff like that.
Yeah.
And for some of that, I think you can get away with it if you can explain Will not being in those flashbacks. Because mm-hmm. he's the one who's going to age the most.
Yeah.
So if they don't go bringing her father back, they spent too much time this season building him up.
Yes.
Missed opportunity.
Yes.
And then having the mid-season, okay, the parents have joined back up. I don't say love triangle, but now Maureen has reestablished her relationship with John, and now...
Yeah.
You know, the first husband's back and that awkwardness.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just know that they're going to meet the kids. They're going to see the first dad. Maureen's going to have the, oh, what is this reaction? Explain, this is my husband.
Yeah.
And Don's going to turn to John. It's like, I thought you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's going to be that comedic moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of potential there story-wise.
Yeah. It'd
be foolish to skip that. And just the almost reversal of John having put Judy in charge.
Mm.
She's the captain of this ship of the kids, but if she encounters her father and other, you know, veteran, you know, space people and stuff, she's just a kid.
Yeah. I was going to say, I can see them trying to take charge from her. And the funny thing is, they've set it up to where I can see her believably telling her bio dad, you're not my dad.
Well, I can see him saying, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Your daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some moments there to be had. And I'm just curious how that plays out, because I almost expect Penny and Judy's dad to really click.
Because
again, it's the reversal of all of that.
Yeah.
And I hope we get to see a couple of more of the kids, and we get Samantha back. We get
VJ.
And we do a little better on the community building.
Yes.
I thought they did well on that first season. There was not as much carryover into second season, but we built up a few other people and stuff in place of that, so I wasn't upset with it. But part of it is 10 episodes, 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
And they were feeling a little shorter this season.
Yes, they were.
Which, again, isn't the problem. The whole thing ran like 7.5 hours, 8 hours or something. And I wouldn't want a ton more for it to feel padded.
Yeah.
But it does feel like if they'd had a little more space in a few places.
Okay, my last question for you. Do you want Scarecrow back next season? Even though it looked like his ship was pretty well mutilated by the crash it had with the Resolute.
I don't know how we get him back, but I think we need to have him back. Between him, the robot, and some new one we get, that to me builds the seed for peace between the robots and the humans.
See, because I felt that, yeah, between those three and Will Robinson. Because Will Robinson is somewhere between the interpreter, the negotiator, and some word I can't quite find. Between humanity and the robots.
Well, what if with Judy's dad, he's in the inverse position of Will? That he was dying, the robot saved him, and he, you know, something of that sort. Because it just seems like, particularly with when the robots attacked the ship there at the end, that almost was something out of Star Trek, when they've got the what was the numbered alien race in Voyager or whatever. That would be the crawling on the the hallway alien things or whatever. It's one of those. It reminded me also of the replicators from Stargate.
That's what I was thinking of.
Where you got these things just crawling on the walls on the top, bottom, left, and right and stuff, just coming at you nonstop. How do you, you know, stop them or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get from that point to some kind of meaningful peace to where humanity's able to continue colonization of another planet or save Earth or something with the technology they are gonna lose because it's not theirs, and do it to where you haven't cheesed off this, you know, alien race?
Yeah.
Because when they had like more ships coming from 4 different planets, you're toast at that point.
Well, one of the scenes I loved was this season's cave painting scene.
Mm-hmm. I thought that they set that up well early in the season, for Will was telling the robot, or his model of the robot stories, they were still connected.
Mm-hmm.
So the robot was doing kind of, you know, cave paintings. So, oh, this is what he said.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that worked out well, and also helped explain the evolution of the robot, that he's learning from this connection.
Yeah.
And I liked the line Will had of, I'm not the same person I was when we first met. Why should he be?
Yes. Well, and I love an almost ironic way, when Will was saying, you know, friendship should be a two-way street. I've asked so much of him. This is the only thing he's asked of me.
Yes.
And then when Penny goes to yet again ask something of VJ, And he says, it's just not right. You're always asking me to do stuff. I can't say no to you. And then I get in trouble. And it's almost like she had to learn from the robot what friendship is.
Yes. Or from Will.
Technically from
Will. From the two of them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious if we do jump forward in time, what the relationship between Penny and VJ is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And how many of the other kids become kind of named characters.
Yes.
And how the kids survive any length of time with 98 of them, 99 if you count Doc Smith and 100 if you count the robot, on this Jupiter. I mean, they're packed. They had hammocks in the hallway.
Yeah, I was wondering if any hammocks were going to get set up down in the garage because the engine kind of gets powered down.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think the engine's going to get powered down that way, but I am curious how they're going to handle the bunking, the food, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm continuing to enjoy the show. I think it's well done.
Me too.
I hope it's not too long until third season comes out.
I have a hard time waiting between seasons 1 and 2.
Yeah, but I think with the pandemic, there's going to be a little bit of a wait for the third and final season. And I hope they land the ending.
Yes, definitely.
And I waver back and forth of, is that them getting to the colony and finally establishing their life there? And I'm thinking no.
Well, I think what they set out for, they no longer need.
Yeah, but I think they need to get to some colony, some place that they can build a home. And we almost need to, I don't say flash forward a little bit, but know that they lived happily ever after.
I guess the thing is, if they end up on their own planet, whatever, somewhere near the colony, but not on it, and both Don and VJ are with them,
mm-hmm.
to where it's only Will who doesn't have his happily ever after yet, but he's got his robot, so he's got a friend. And it's kind of a, we have the Jupiter. He can go to the colony when he's of age and find someone.
Yeah, I guess for me, they've got the opportunity to pair Will up with some other kid now since they're all there.
It kind of feels too early.
It does. But if you roll forward another 7 months, a year, or whatever, now Will's starting to be 13-ish. So it's a possibility.
Yeah.
But I guess for me, I'm expecting them to have gotten to a planet, establish a colony.
I guess my hang up is why Maureen wouldn't stay on Methane World. We can't breathe. We can't drink the water. Our kids can't make friends here.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, is I think they've all the Jupiters need to get back together. They need to land on a planet. So you've got the 600-700.
Okay.
They've got socialization. They've built up something, whether it's on the colony or not.
Yeah.
But then I expect a roll forward to where you start with, you start a shot with, okay, here's how the colonies had, the Jupiters had lined up and built out the initial part of the colony, just like we'd seen when we got into the Amber Planet, mm-hmm. that one shot. But then you kind of roll the clock forward. You see the seasons change. You see the stuff build up. It's less obvious where the Jupiters are, whatever. And then as that, you know, is clearly going through time, it slows down to a stop. You see some kids coming out. They're going to a library or something, book reading.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Penny's chronicles of Lost in Space that we saw the first book of this time.
Yeah.
Almost sort of like the Little House on the Prairie
yes.
novels and such.
Yeah.
And getting some kid of, well, how does it end? You know, well, you know.
Yeah.
Or something of that sort. There's got to be a way to...
Stargate Universe had a great episode like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where there was a second version of the ship, because there was some kind of split.
There was a time split, yeah.
And it had ended up on a planet, I forget if it crashed or whatever, but couldn't get back off. And they did a time roll forward, and we saw the civilization build.
They did an episode like that on either Enterprise or Voyager or both.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they may have even done it on Deep Space Nine. A couple of time loops they couldn't get off. They said, you know, anyways, yeah. But I'd like to see something to where they have the happily ever after and stuff like that. And they get the life they were looking for. And it did actually quiet down at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, what happened to the robots? All that kind of a thing. And if it gets to where you've not only got humans, but some robots and they're peacefully coexisting, something of that sort.
Yeah.
There are other ways they could do a satisfying ending. That's just the one that comes to my mind at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I think 10 episodes in a third season, you've got to get the family back together.
Yeah.
You've got to get them somewhere they can live forever. theoretically. Mm-hmm. I feel you have to deal with Judy's biological father.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what other things, other than the giving the engine back to the robots or whatever, what I feel they have to do.
Deal with the fact they destroyed the ship, because that seems to be the only ship ferrying colonists back and forth.
Yeah. How do not only they get a happy ending, but the people on Earth get one?
Yeah. And that's part of the make peace with the robots, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think once you do that, the robots could help ferry people across, build up the society.
Yeah.
And the question is, why have they put the rings on the planets? What is their society and their backstory?
Yeah.
We almost need to have an episode where the flashbacks are all from the robot's point of view.
Yes. Well, and I mean, the robot is gradually expanding its vocabulary.
Oh, yeah. It expanded massively this time.
This season, it learned the word no.
No, family, friend, a couple of names. Will Robinson it knew, but Ben Adler.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what else. There are a few.
Yeah. Friend was significant.
Yeah. Help.
Yes.
It didn't have a huge vocabulary, but it had enough keywords.
Yeah.
That it was able to do more than just shrug.
Mm-hmm.
But even the shrugging and some of the gestures and the body language and some of the actions it did really conveyed its emotional and cognitive growth.
Yeah.
So I think they're doing a terrific job with the robot. And I'm having a lot of fun with the show. I'm hoping they do a really solid third season and land the ending.
Yeah, me too.
Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.